The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Build-Up with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, what's happening, everybody? You're on the Sharks Audio Network as we get ready for tonight's game against Seattle. 7 o'clock go time, 6:30 pregame right here on the Sharks Audio Network. We're taking a look at some of the lines for tonight. Top line, Graf, Celebrini, Chernyshov. Second line, Wennberg, flanked by Eklund and Toffoli. Third line, Gaudette, Skinner, Delandry at center. Fourth line, Ostapchuk center, and Reeves and Goodrow on the wings. Defensive pairings, Orlov, Klingberg, Ferraro, Mukhmadulin, Dickinson, Liljegren. However, some news that came out from Sheng Peng, as I was just referencing Curtis Pichelka's tweet from earlier this morning, but Sheng said that Liljegren apparently got an injury during morning skate and that Iorio is going to slot in for him. So those are some of the stories that we are paying attention to. But, you know, what I'm paying attention to is, can the Sharks take 2 out of 3 on this 3-game homestand before they go out on the road around the Christmas break? Remember, on Tuesday the 23rd at Vegas, I will actually be at that game doing color commentary with Dan Rusinowski right here on the Sharks Audio Network. Then on the 27th, they are going to be at Vancouver. Another game I'll be with Dan on color before they finish up that 3-game roadie on Monday the 29th. They are going to be at Anaheim. They're back home on the 31st of December, playing host to the Minnesota Wild on New Year's Eve. That one is a 1 o'clock start. So you can get to the tank and you can still get out and have yourself a good New Year's Eve party evening that will not be... You don't have to spend it watching the Sharks. Not that there's anything wrong with that. You just get to do both this year with that much more ease. But all right, we are now going to bring in Nick Nolenberger. I had a lot of stuff I wanted to talk about with him because we've had, obviously, a lot of members of the San Jose Barracuda coming into the Sharks lineup as of late. Of course, most recently, Igor Chernyshov and Ethan Cardwell. So we'll get into that more. Enjoy. Noli, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Ted. Thank you for having me, as always. The team's on a 5-game road trip before the holiday break, and I think the last time we caught up, it was when the Barracuda were in the midst of this great stretch of 11 games straight with a point, and it all kind of started, the genesis of that stretch started on a 5-game road trip. That was back at the start of November. So the team's maybe not as hot as then, but it's still playing really good hockey. Top 3 in the division, a point behind Ontario, who they play tonight, so... It's been a great start. There's a lot of exciting pieces for this Barracuda team in terms of prospects and some veteran additions and just a really good blend. So there's some optimism, really good buzz in the room, and it's been a lot of fun. So from a broadcasting standpoint, I'm doing great. It's fun to call winning hockey. As you know, it's fun to be part of a winning program. So it's been a good start, without a doubt.
Yeah, was there concern early on, though, when maybe it was a little bit off kilter? Were you thinking, uh-oh, maybe this plan to have, kind of a different outlook on the team build as opposed to a year ago where you had some, very proven veterans. Did you ever wonder if it was going to be a rough year? Did that cross your mind?
Well, you always try to prognosticate before the season starts. And I think anybody does. When you look at a team, what are we going to be? What do you think they can be? And just from a prospect standpoint, I thought we were going to be pretty talented. I knew we'd be young, but I thought we'd be talented. And as that talent started to get comfortable at this level, it would start to result in some good results. And yeah, I think it was a little nervy early because the team won 2 games in October. They were 2-5 to start the season. And they weren't just losing games. They're kind of getting worked in a lot of them. There was just this team is getting used to each other. So many new pieces. The AHL is kind of incredible in that way, where every single year, between the influx of new players from a prospect standpoint coming from college and junior, and then guys, veteran players on 1-year deals, there's just tons of turnover in the AHL. Every year, it feels like your roster is completely different. And that was the case. It was a lot of fresh faces getting used to one another. There were some system changes, I think, up top with the Sharks that impacted the Barracuda. One area which was really impacted, at least early, was the penalty kill. It was really struggling through the first month of the season. It's totally turned a corner as of late over the last nine games. I think it's above 90%, but they still find themselves at the bottom of the league on the PK because they were kind of getting used to each other and getting used to the systems and all that that goes into that. So a long-winded answer, maybe a little concerned early just because it was such a young team and you just wonder if guys can adapt to this level quickly. But they certainly did. It took about seven games, and all of a sudden, the group totally turned a corner. And you can really go back to the young players figuring it out, whether it was Igor Chernyshov or Quentin Musty or even Casper Halton and Cam Lund, all these young first-year players and some of the second-year guys still getting their feet under them at this level. And then the mix of the new guys getting comfortable in their surroundings and with new players and with new coaches and everything that goes into that as well. So maybe a teeny bit of concern early, but it was wiped away pretty quick once November started.
Yeah, and obviously a lot of those young stars really started rolling, and a lot of the attention was placed on Quentin Musty and Igor Chernyshov, and people were wondering when they were going to get up, and obviously Chernyshov has been up. But you know, one of the things that you really keyed me on the last time we talked, Noli, was the idea of guys coming up and not being put in different roles than what they were accustomed to. And that led to Giles coming up and having success. So no Stopchuk having success when he came up. Regenda, he came up, and even though he was more of a bottom six guy, he still got on the power play and scored a couple of goals, which, you know, his whole Olympic aspiration story is a backdrop to what's going on. And him being just such a great dude, it seems like, and I was able to interview him after one of the wins, you know, seeing his success, that was a great aspect of it as well. And now to see Chernyshov come up, I mean, how interesting is it from your point of view to watch these guys hit the ground running in the NHL? Because, you know, that's not how it always goes. But every time Cardwell or Giles or all the names I just mentioned, when guys come up, it's immediate success.
You know, this year it's interesting because of all the prospects, and with the Sharks having their struggles over the last handful of years, they've picked really high and they've relied on these prospects this year to come in and hopefully make an impression. And they certainly have. And I think Sharks fans should be very pleased. And it helps when you have success in the NHL because it's almost house money with all these young guys still kind of marinating in the American Hockey League. But that was the number one storyline, was these young players coming into the mix. And I think Ryan Warsawski put it back in rookie camp. These young guys are legit. I think he said that during the rookie tournament, and there are players coming. And I think there's no doubt that's the case. And these guys have been really, really impressive. But one of the backstories to that narrative this year has been the fact that the Sharks have so many recallable assets, and that's kind of a term that John McCarthy has used. And you look at Patrick Giles, and you look at even Zach Ostapchuk, who started the year in the American Hockey League and now has kind of found himself a home on that fourth line as the center for the Sharks. Go down the list, you know, Chernyshov getting called up, the young guys certainly in the mix, but those other players, Cardwell, there's a lot of guys that are certainly capable to hear their name called and get a chance in the NHL and then be productive. Even a guy like Jack Thompson, who spent a lot of time last year in the NHL and is yet to play up top of the big club this year, he's a guy who could certainly go up and be effective. So I think that's a tip of the cap to the management and kind of filling the cupboards, not just with high-end prospects, but depth and guys who can fit different roles and versatile players. That's the big thing, is having versatility as well. And that's what Cardwell is all about. At the American League level, he plays a top six role. They put him in a lot of big time situations. He was on the second power play unit. He can score goals. He can provide a lot. In the NHL, he's going to be relied on a little bit more in a middle six to bottom six role. And he's got to be defensively responsible. And I think he has continued to get better in that area as his career has unfolded. So being versatile, being able to fit a specific role, but also having the capability to adjust and play different situations as well, is huge. And that's massive for a player to give themselves a better chance to get called up. So I think the depth and the players that are at the disposal of the organization is maybe the biggest eye-opener, not just young prospects who are highly skilled. There's other guys, too, who can fit those roles. So that's kudos to Mike Greer. That's kudos to the entire organization.
Kudos to the kudos, I guess we could say as well. Yeah, but
say that 10 times.
Yeah, we're both dads. We can do that. We can make that joke here. Let me ask you about Chernyshov, because I also want to talk about Musty. But the thing I notice about him is that he plays in a way where his first step is not a burst like Macklin or Eklund, but he gets 2-3 strides, and all of a sudden he's a freight train. I will drop the blanking from that, which I have been saying to myself. And then guys come up trying to steal the puck and they bounce off of him. I think he's, He's like deceptively big. Like he stands there and he's big, but I don't know about why guys keep on challenging him when he gets a bit of momentum, because they can't win the puck back from him. And he makes these drives on the post and it's like, uh-oh, get out of the way.
Well, he's one of those players too. I think you look at him physically, he's obviously a big guy, but at 20 years of age, a player still getting his feet kind of wet at the pro level. Maybe guys aren't familiar with his game, and as he continues to play more in the NHL and becomes a recognizable figure on the ice, I think they'll understand that not only does he have elite skill, but he is big, and he's physical, and he's willing to get into the dirtier areas and battle for pucks and compete in his own defensive zone. You know, I don't, for a young player at his age, of course, everybody's got areas to improve on, but there's not a ton of I would say rough areas to his game. The fact that he's very committed in his own defensive zone, the fact that he's got an elite NHL shot, the fact that he's got NHL size, can already play kind of a big boy style of game, and is versatile too. You can put him on the penalty kill. He killed a lot in the AHL. You could put him onto the power play. You can put him in a top line role like we've seen with the Sharks, playing with Colin Graf and Macklin Celebrini. There's a versatility to his game, and at his age, just turned 20 at the end of November, to be where he is at this point, I think has been a really pleasant surprise. You knew he had a ton of skill. You knew people talked about him as potentially being a first round pick, kind of slid maybe in the draft and had that type of ability. But for him to adjust this quickly to the professional level, and after somewhat of a slow start, I would say the first month of October, just like the rest of the team, he was kind of slow out of the gates. But once November started, everything seemed to click. And you see all the physical tools that make him really a special player. And that's why I see an NHL future for him. I don't think I'm going on a limb and saying that. Now, he's still young. There's going to be growing pains. There's going to be ups and downs. But he has all the kind of boxes that are checked to get you really excited about his potential.
Both he and Quentin Musty started heating up around the same time, it seemed. What evolution have you seen in Musty's game versus what you saw maybe at the end of the last season when he came up and was there for the playoff roster in the last little bit of the regular season?
Well, one of the big, I think, knocks on a lot of players coming out from the junior hockey level is that they're so offensively dominant that they really don't have to learn how to play away from the puck. And most of the time, they don't have to give up the puck. That's something that Quentin Musty talked to me about, was the fact that he could just hold on to pucks and just wait for plays to kind of open up and then create offense like that. In the American Hockey League, things close a lot quicker. There aren't as many opportunities. So sometimes you got to throw it in the corner and go back and get it. Other times there are plays to be made, and you've got to have the creativity to be able to accomplish that. And he does, without a doubt. He's got elite skill. He's got elite playmaking ability. I look at him more as a playmaker, at least what we've seen so far, than a pure goal scorer. But he's so creative. He thinks the game at a really, really high level, in particular in the offensive end. And I think as he gets more comfortable and his game continues to round out, and he kind of sand out some of the rough edges, and there aren't a ton, really. I've been pretty impressed by his game so far. But there are some things that he's still got to work out and kind of iron out at the pro level that he had in his game in the junior level, as most guys do. So the difference, I think, between him and Chernyshov is Chernyshov, because he's got that big frame and because he's got a few other tools that he can kind of lean on at this point, I think that's why it made him a little bit more of a recallable asset at this point. But Quentin Musty's going to be there, and it's only a matter of time as he continues to round out and get comfortable at the pro level, because the skill's off the charts. When you see him play the way he thinks the game, the way he's able to create at a high tempo, a high rate of speed, it's really impressive. And I see everything that I think the Sharks saw when they drafted him where they did with that offensive skill set. So, yeah, he played on a line with Chernyshov and Bystead, and those three were really dynamic. They all kind of filled different roles, and they seemed to really feed off each other quite well. So, excited to see where Quentin can continue to take his game, because I think the sky's the limit in terms of the offensive side of the puck. And as he continues to learn how to defend, he's going to be a player in the NHL that I think will help the Sharks in the long term.
Defenseman progress and learning and evolution is a slower process, but tell me what you're seeing from Luca Cagnoni, because last year I saw a lot in his game that I liked, both with the AHL and at the NHL level. He obviously has the brain. He can play the points. He knows how to control things, but it's still a learning process. I mean, everyone is impatient, but we're watching it right now with Shakir Mukhmudulin as well as Sam Dickinson, and it takes somewhere between 100 to 150, maybe even 200 games for a defenseman really to be into their NHL career before they are close to what we would call a complete product. So what are you seeing with Luka this year versus last year?
I'm seeing a lot of the same in terms of the offensive dynamics that he possesses on the power play. He's elite. He's, top 10 in scoring among D's, kind of where he was last year. He's just so offensively creative. And what makes him a special player is he's not a burner in terms of his skating ability, but his edge work and his ability to kind of slip and slither through traffic and make moves on the fly with his great skating ability is what makes him special. He can walk the blue line as good as anybody in the league. He can siphon shots through. He's just got a creativity from the blue line that you can't teach. It really is God-given. Again, his knock will always be his size. That's always going to be the question mark with him. But in my mind, as he continues to stack games up in the American Hockey League, and eventually he will get a chance in the NHL. And when he gets that chance, that's when we're going to find out if he can make it or not. I really don't think you're going to know much more than you know right now while he's in the AHL, because even though he's very young in his career, he's kind of done everything you could ask to this point. Now he's going to continue to marinate, and I think that's a good thing. He's not even 21 years of age yet, so he's still got a long runway in terms of his development. But he has all the skill in the world. He has all the ability in the world. Again, I think we won't know until he's in the NHL. When he's given that chance to play the power play, to run the power play, to see how he can defend against the world's best, we won't really know if he can be an NHLer until that point. Because at the AHL level, he's done everything you could ask. But he's got all the skills in the world, his skating ability, his creativity. He's got a great shot. It's not a really hard shot, but he has a knack for getting it through. He's just an elite offensive player in my mind, in particular at this level. But I don't think we'll have a real answer on his long-term promise until he gets a full chance in the NHL. He'll get games in the NHL this year. There's no question. We'll see what happens with the Sharks. They're in the mix right now, so that kind of impacts what's going to happen in terms of maybe some trades around the deadline. But he will get an opportunity in the NHL, and that's when we will find out, in my mind, on whether he is going to stick in the NHL or not. And in my opinion, I think he's an NHL defenseman in the future. I really do believe he will find a career in the NHL.
How do we feel about our netminders right now?
Well, that was maybe one of the biggest questions of the year, right? Because you bring in a guy in Jakub Skarik, who had spent the entirety of his career within the New York Islanders organization, was on a really, really tough, and I say tough in a kind way, Bridgeport team, last in the AHL last year. So his numbers just were not good. But this season, he's been outstanding. He's won 7 of his last 8 games. He's 9-3 this year. That puts him in the top 4 in terms of wins in the AHL. I think last year with Bridgeport, 22 games played, he had 5 wins, and he's already got now through 12 games this year with the Barracuda, 9 wins. So he's having a really good season. Gabe Carrier has been really solid in my mind, too. It's kind of been a 1A, 1B situation. They're just rotating the goalies, and both guys have given their team a chance really every night they've been out there. So, again, one of the question marks with Noah Askarov, one of the premier goalie prospects in the world, what's the situation going to be? And I think both guys have risen to the occasion and taken the opportunity and run with it. So, yeah, no, you can't complain much about the goaltending. I think it's been really solid. That's the best way to put it.
Noli, I know you've got a game to get ready for, so I will let you go, man, but I appreciate your time. Be sure to tune in today at 6 o'clock, sjbarracuda.com/listen, as San Jose is in SoCal taking on Ontario. Noli, appreciate your time as always, man. We'll talk soon, all right?
All right, Ted, thank you. Appreciate you.
Again, that is Nick Nolenberger, the voice of the San Jose Barracuda, joining us here on the Sharks Audio Network. I am really, really intrigued, though, to see how the Sharks play in this game tonight against Seattle, because we've seen them have that wild momentum in so many of their games as of late. What they did against Toronto, obviously what they did against Pittsburgh, the way that they played in that first home game against Calgary, and at points of that game versus Dallas. If they are figuring out how to flip that switch and just overwhelm teams, you know, kind of like how Colorado started to do it a few years back. You know, if they have that ability, if they can just flip the game on its head, that's going to make them such an incredibly dangerous team ahead of schedule. And I think that the rest of the league is starting to figure out that San Jose is a very dangerous team. They're clearly not figuring out San Jose, but they are starting to realize, uh-oh, when we go up against the Sharks, we've got a real problem on our hands. Macklin Celebrini, Igor Chernyshov, I think, has presented himself as a problem in just a couple of games. Colin Graf is getting better by the game. They are a dangerous, potent team, and right now it does feel like the sky is the limit. And again, no pressure, no expectations. All of that is not on the table yet with the Sharks. They are just a team that is fun for everyone to watch. But I guarantee internally, They're thinking about a playoff spot day in, day out. They're putting that pressure on themselves. It all creates a very, very dangerous situation for the opposition going against San Jose in every single game. We're out of time. Pre-game 6:30, go time 7, right here on the Sharks Audio Network with the Kraken in town to take on the Sharks. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.